So again, welcome. It's nice to be here this evening. See lots of familiar faces and some unfamiliar faces. My name is Paloma Kane, and I'm just filling in for Gordon this evening. He's under the weather, so he called me this afternoon. We'll see how far we get. We may end a little early tonight. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. But we had a chat this afternoon, and he was planning on talking about Tonglen. And so I'm guessing that he'll bring that next week. He's working on that. So I thought I'd do a bit of the backstory, lay the groundwork a bit, as well as I can describe Tonglen for those who are unfamiliar. I don't know that he's talked about it here before. Is Tonglen familiar to people or not so much? Some. Okay. Great. Well, I'll tell you about it, so no worries. Tonglen is a compassion practice, and I'll describe it in a little bit. It comes from the Tibetan Buddhist schools of practice. First things first, can you all hear me? Okay, great. If you ever can't hear me, just start waving your hand around wildly. Thank you. So it's a compassion practice, and so it comes from a set of practices that are common to all the schools of Buddhism. You find it from earliest Buddhism through the most recently developed schools that go. It's this set of four practices to develop the qualities of the heart. It goes by the Brahmaviharas and the Vipassana or insight schools. Brahmaviharas means divine abodes. And so it's, I think these really divine qualities of the heart, really. I think of cultivating these qualities of the heart, these different movements. In the Tibetan schools, they're known as the Four Immeasurables. And he'll recognize the most commonly practiced in North America these days is metta, or loving-kindness. So that's one of these four qualities, is loving-kindness, along with compassion and sympathetic joy and equanimity. And we tend to, frequently now we'll practice loving-kindness just as a standalone. Originally it was taught as one of these sets of practices, and you would do them for different circumstances. But loving-kindness is actually such a beautiful practice. If you've done it, it can fit anywhere. You can't go wrong with it. But it's also interesting that you can kind of become even more specific with these qualities. And so loving-kindness traditionally is practiced for people that are doing well, actually. It's kind of wanting to support their well-being, wish for its continuance, and to wish them well. Compassion was done for people that are suffering, and not only for others, but ourselves included in all of this. All of these practices traditionally began by practicing for ourselves, developing some stability in the way we relate to ourselves, and then extending this outwards. And so compassion, it means to suffer with. And so it's being willing to be present with suffering when we perceive it in ourselves or in another, and to offer some care towards suffering. And this is Tonglen. It's one of these compassion practices. I'll talk about it a bit more. And then there's the practice of sympathetic joy, which for some reason it always delights me, for many reasons. Sympathetic joy is a practice that we traditionally do as an antidote to envy or jealousy. And so when someone is experiencing good fortune, and unfortunately we all know this feeling of when someone is experiencing good fortune and we're not exactly happy for them, that there can be many reasons for this. I know, and myself, when I look deeply, I often find that it's because there's an unmet longing of mine. There's a funny thing, actually, from Jack Kornfield. You've probably heard it. I've probably read it here. I may even have it, but he's talking about, you know, these experiences where you, you know, your neighbor's going on this fabulous vacation and you're not quite happy about it. There's just a bit of a dark feeling. Or, you know, someone's gotten a new car, or they've fallen in love, or come into a bunch of money. Sometimes even if we really love this person, it can be all the more mysterious of, like, why am I not happy for them? And when I look deeply, I'm having this experience, it's usually because there's a longing of my own of something. So it's can become, over time, kind of an indicator that, oh, there's something that I might want to cultivate in my life. But what's beautiful and infinitely easier than trying to figure out how to have that thing for ourselves, this beautiful practice of sympathetic joy, where we consciously take in their good fortune, we contemplate it, and we imagine how we might feel in those circumstances. It's like taking vicarious pleasure in the circumstance, imagining the delight that we might feel in that circumstance. And if you practice this, you find that actually it really turns it around, and you can find real delight in it. So sympathetic joy. I also find it interesting that it seems to be such a common human experience that it's kind of found its place among these four qualities, along with loving kindness and compassion and equanimity. So it too is part of the human rainbow, the experience. And equanimity. It's interesting that in some traditions equanimity is taught first, and quite intensively, that we would cultivate equanimity kind of as the basis for all of these others. And equanimity is you know, it's not a lack of discernment. It's not seeing all things as the same. But it's developing more this attitude of what's called one taste sometimes. And what is the taste? That one taste, it's the taste of awareness, of being awake. And so whatever arises, that we're awake to that too. And that's kind of the direction we're moving in when we practice equanimity. So whatever arises, that we're willing to meet that experience, to be present with it, to bring our awareness to that and not push that experience away or hide from it. When it comes to people, we practice these qualities in relationship to experience, but primarily in relationship to ourselves and other people. And so with equanimity, it's, again, it's not saying that all people are the same, but it's regarding all people with this kind of positive regard, with a sense of warmth. And I always remember I had kind of a watershed moment with this a long time ago when I was sitting in a meditation space and we were practicing, and I'd opened my eyes and I looked around and there was someone sitting on the other side of the room, this friend of mine that I had a crush on. And I just noticed how I was kind of looking around the room, and then when my eyes fell on this person, that there was just so much more energy in my heart and this kind of great warmth. And at first, there was a kind of recoil from that feeling. I felt a bit ashamed of it. Because I didn't have that feeling for everyone else in the room. You know, there was such a strong preference. And so there's this feeling like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. We're supposed to be sitting here, you know, having equanimity, like feeling, you know, warmth and love for everyone. But then I just noticed spontaneously, kind of what a helpful springboard that was for developing this sense of kind of warmth for everyone. And so then, even though I initially recoiled, I kind of caught myself and then, I played with the idea of just extending this kind of warmth towards everyone in the room, of what that would feel like. Which is, you know, not to say that I had a crush on everyone in the room, but just this warmth of heart, of what it would be like if I just felt that kind of delight. And I didn't know most of the people in the room, they're complete strangers, but it was beautiful, actually. Just I found that it was actually quite accessible and that it was helpful to make use of the energy of that feeling, to just kind of take delight in everyone. So, you know, that's kind of a lot more energy than we walk around extending to everyone. But you can try that out sometimes. Jack Kornfield talked about an experience one time where he was in New York City. He was walking along the streets in Manhattan, and he felt very lonely. And, you know, he felt like everyone that was walking by were all these strangers, and he felt so alone. And so then he thought, well, what would it be like if I just imagined that everyone that I'm passing, that they're all members of my extended family, like, you know, cousins and aunts and uncles and in-laws. And then he said that as he did that, you know, he became very interested, very curious in each person that passed by and kind of wondering how they were doing and hoping they were well and, you know, taking on this very kind of familial feeling for them, which is also a very interesting practice. I had a friend in Los Angeles who was a meditation teacher, and she's, by her own explanation, she says it's the Sicilian blood, that she gets very agitated when she's driving. She gets very frustrated and impatient and angry. I don't know if it's the Sicilian blood, but that was her explanation. And so she took this on, Jack's practice of seeing everyone as extended family members, and so she took this on as a driving practice. And so when she was driving, she would imagine that all the people in the other cars were family members. And I've done that many times, especially in a traffic jam or something. And it really changes the quality of the experience. It changes the quality of my heart in the experience, the sense of warmth or contraction that is or isn't present when we kind of extend this sense of caring kind of beyond our usual sphere, beyond the people that we're used to holding in that space. So, I've not spoken really about loving kindness, but that's one that we practice a lot. It's this practice of wishing ourselves and others well, wishing for their safety, for their ease, for their well-being, for their good health, all of these things. And so in the practices of compassion, the idea, you know, when we hear the notion that it means to suffer with, that's not a very good, maybe etymologically correct, but it's not, I think it could be very misleading if we were to take it literally. And sometimes these practices can be hard to do because we find ourselves falling into a heavy space. We feel a bit overwhelmed when we contemplate suffering, or even when we go into our own suffering. And it's very important to pay attention to that and not to exceed our own natural capacity in any given moment, you know, to feel like we should be able to go beyond what we're able to do, but more to really notice that and to tend it. And we can practice right there at the edges, wherever kind of we meet that edge. All of these four qualities have a way of going astray as well. And with compassion, you know, we can certainly run into burnout and overwhelm and empathy fatigue. And so it's important to be aware of this and to notice it. All of these qualities have ways of going astray. With equanimity, it's when we kind of go into a sense of apathy, really, of, you know, it's all the same, who cares, kind of feeling about it. So noticing that in all of these, the point is to stay awake, to stay present to what's moving in us, to how we're relating to ourselves and the world. And so I preface this all before describing Tonglen, which is to say that it's a practice to move into gently if you've not done it before. With Tonglen, it's often called sending and receiving. And the practice is traditionally done, you establish your meditation, settle the body, settle the breath, come into some stability in the mind. And then feeling, on the inhale, feeling the suffering. On the exhale, sending love to the suffering, sending light, sending warmth. And I had a teacher once who described it. She says, like there's a transformer in your heart, is how she described it. And so you breathe in, and some people describe it even as, you know, dark qualities, like dark smoke or a heaviness, breathing that in, and then it transforms in the space of the heart because the heart is so powerful, and exhaling light and love and warmth. And so I think it's really helpful to kind of assess your own state of being before doing this practice. Because if it's not gone into, it's good to generate this warmth of heart and good-heartedness before beginning the practice. And so that you don't just take on the heaviness, but that there's a different quality to it. I'll say for me that the sending and receiving, even though that's what it's called, it's not actually how it feels to me over time. It's more like deeply being present with. It's not taking it on so much as it's just this willingness that's inherent in all compassion practices, this willingness to be present to what hurts in ourselves, be present to what hurts in others, and just to see that and to be open with it, to be present, and to extend our caring for it in a very natural way and according to our capacity, and always starting with ourselves. That's how this is always done, is that we can just feel into those little places in ourselves that hurt or that are a little bit sticky, and just breathe into it a little bit and just noticing what's there. And then on the exhale, allowing there to be some softening, just some space around it, some warmth. And we can start in a little, very baby steps way. And even though the practice can if we're doing it from an intellectual place, it can feel a bit heavy. But when we think about the natural caring that we extend towards anyone that we care about, that we can quite easily find the feeling of the practice. I mean, sometimes it's easier to think of if you have an animal in your life or if you have had one. You know, if your dog comes to you and it has a little thorn in its paw or something, you know, then there's a part of us that just very naturally perceives the suffering, that feels for what's going on, but hopefully isn't overwhelmed by it, but is willing to see it, to try to understand it, to do what we can to help soothe it, and to comfort it also. There's a lot of comforting that goes into this as well. I'm just offering warmth, offering our presence. So, this is our prelude to what Gordon may bring next week. Talking about Tonglen. Several of you nodded that you have experience with this practice. I'd be very interested if anyone wants to share of just what the experience has been like for you. Any stories of how you've worked with it. There come quite beautiful stories about how suffering can be transformed when we just show up with our good-hearted presence. We cease to be afraid, but become more curious than afraid, more interested, more caring. Yes. That's beautiful. And it's also nourishment for them. You know, like just like you've described. And I think that can be our experience with the practice. It sounds like that was your experience, that we find that awareness itself is nourishing, even if we're tending to something that might be painful or difficult. And so over time the practice has that quality. It's nourishing and not overwhelming. Yeah. It is. Do you find, and I have found many times that when it feels like there's nothing to do, that it's a very beneficial thing to do, actually. Yeah. It's so non-invasive. It's probably a more universal spiritual experience. I know it's described in this one tradition as Tonglen, but I think that it probably exists in a lot of forms. You know, just transforming suffering into love. And I think before we close this evening, let's do a little more practice together. Before we do, I'd like you to actually just go ahead and look around the room and just take a moment, look at each other, whether you know each other or not, but just take a look at who's in the room with us. And you're noticing that each of us, we have our measures of joy and our measures of sorrow, that no one in this room or in this world is exempt from this reality. In the very similar ways that we experience delight, we take joy, we have suffering, and all the other people in this room have very similar experiences. Different variables, but in the end we all experience envy and loss and delight, awe. And so if you care to get settled, let the body feel supported once again. And bringing the attention in words. Noticing if there are any places in yourself this evening that feel a bit sore or sad, achy. Noticing whether there's some small suffering, maybe physical or emotional, maybe a difficult circumstance in your life. But just feeling the qualities of it. And as you breathe in, just being willing to feel it a little bit, just as much as feels right. And if it's helpful to see it as a color, a texture, a bit of roughness or smokiness, density. And exhaling. And transforming it, softening it, bringing it some light. It doesn't need to be a big effort to change it so much as offering it some warmth, offering it the kindness of your attention. Letting it transform and soften itself. Allowing it to become lighter. Warmer, less dense. And we can try this collectively as well, just knowing that in this room there will be the pains and the sorrows. Sadnesses and discomforts. And we breathe in with this awareness. And feel into the space of the heart. And exhaling our caring love, light, and go ahead and let it be customized for you. Meaning if there's an image that works for you of breathing in smoke and breathing out light, or of can be anything at all. You can breathe in, just feeling the suffering, breathing out, feeling God's love. It can be a temperature. Some simple words. See if anything resonates for you, whatever feels natural. It may just be a feeling of presence and caring. And if at any point it feels a bit stuck, then offer your kindness and your warmth to the stuck place. You start right there. Now letting go of any effort, of any images or concepts. Being present with the simplicity of this breathing body, of your own aliveness. Being present right here and now in the company of all of us in this Wednesday evening. And again, taking a moment to appreciate the goodness of your efforts, whatever the results. Noticing the effort that you've made to be present, to get here tonight, to practice in your own way. And we freely offer the benefits of our efforts and our intentions. And we offer it through our kindness and our awareness, our caring. Our essential generosity. And may we be filled with loving kindness, compassion. May we be strong of heart. And bless you. May we be at peace with ourselves and with others. May this be true for us. May it be true for all beings without exception. Thank you. So thank you for coming to practice tonight. It's nice to be here. Gordon will be back next week, and I don't know what all he has on his schedule. I know he's been quite busy lately, doing lots of good things. He has the Sunday night sitting, centering prayer group at his house, and the details are on the One River Wisdom Nashville website. He and I are going to be doing another retreat together at St. Mary's Sewanee. I think that's in early November, but that's definitely on St. Mary's website and maybe on Gordon's website as well. And I'm also going to be doing another training. There's a 50-hour professional development and mindfulness facilitation that's run at the Osher Center at Vanderbilt. It starts in a couple of weeks, but there's still spaces available, so you can get in touch with them if you're interested. There are CEUs available. I think you call them something else here, but it's continuing education for therapists and psychologists, I believe. Anyone else have any practice-related announcements or events to announce? No? Great. Well, thank you very much. It's good to see you.